you hear them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. Well, you'll hear the music.
Yes, indeedy, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea, ships on the rocks, and ships stuck on the blocks in your backyard. Guess what? It's Fish and Frank's again. Yes, Fish and Frank here in the chair and Robert in the chair across from me. What a day. What a amazing thing we've got going out for you. You know, I actually forgot. I've got to get some phone numbers together. We got a couple captains we're going to call out on the water and all kinds of stuff going on today. Let's see. Now, it's windy out.
Very.
And it's cold. What the heck's going on with this? I mean, I don't understand the whole weather thing. You know, what do they say? This government has cured global warming?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you look at it nationwide, yeah. It's cured something.
Yeah, it's cured something. Yeah, I don't know what it's cured, but it definitely got somewhere with it. Let's see.
It's been a little on the weird side. I mean, it's going from hot to cold to hot to cold, but at least the water temperatures finally did cool down enough where it brought the fish further up into the harbor and into the rivers and into the canal systems. You know, for a while there, it was a little bit of a struggle because you had to travel down closer to the intercoastal and the beaches and places like that. So anybody up here in, say, the Northport area that likes to fish the Myakka River, they're finally starting to get some pretty decent fish. And any one of us that live in the Upper Peace River.
Did I do something wrong with the microphone there?
No, I'll make the call from here.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right. I didn't know what the microphone was for.
We're highly organized here, guys.
Got it.
We don't know what we're doing, but we're highly organized.
I got a speakerphone on my iPhone, but it sounds really bad.
Yeah, we'll try this.
Okay. You can pick one of those and give them a call. What we've got is a couple captains out in the water. Why don't we try Carl? Because Robert's talking about all these fish out there. And I lined up a couple guys to talk to are on the water today. And to me, that's, you know, I wouldn't believe anybody'd be out.
Right. Well, and it's nice getting firsthand information from guys that are actually out on the water right now. You know, and have been for the last couple of days. So it is quite nice to see that, you know, and get their real account information of reality fishing.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll figure out what's going on with all this.
Carly, your turn.
Who'd you try?
That was Morris.
Morris.
Try Carl?
Yeah, give Carl a call. I'll text Morris and tell him to answer the phone.
Tell him to answer the phone in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, yeah, Carl's one of our backcountry fishermen who does a lot of different varieties of trips. He has his own boat that takes people out on charters, flats fishing.
No, Morris doesn't do flats fishing.
No, I'm talking about Carl.
Carl does flats fishing, yeah. Yes.
You're trying to do two things at once. So yeah. I'm trying to cover it.
You know, at my age, if I could do a half a thing at once, I'm feeling pretty good.
I messed up my whole
sales tax thing today. Oh, man. I was on the phone with Department of Revenue trying to get my sales tax done.
You have reached the voicemail box.
That's all right.
I'll
text them and let them know we're calling. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the fish are moving up the rivers. They're going into the canals. That water temperature's dropping again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's averaging probably 60 degrees on the flats, maybe even into the 50s in some areas. So it's been a little cool, but we actually need that for all these fish to move into the canal systems and into the upper river because the canal systems are deeper water. The rivers have deeper water and a lot of deeper spots, but they also have a lot of close proximity spots that are shallower, so the fish, as the day warms up, they can move up into the shallow edges of the canals, the shallow bend, you know, the shallow flats of the rivers.
wait a minute. Not delivered. Never mind.
They'll be able to move around into those shallower spots to warm up and feed, but then they have the ability to drop off into that deeper water where it's a little bit cooler or more standard, basically, water temperature and have protection from the cold weather because a lot of our species don't like that colder water.
Now,
cold weather.
You got to have more than 4 feet of water.
Yeah.
Where you're going to find fish. They're out there. The surface temperature in salt water goes to air temperature for the first foot really easy. It's gradually going down and down. If the weather moderates, even the way it is now isn't bad. But if we get much colder, we're actually going to start losing some fish. I've only seen a few dead snook, a couple other things there. Okay, yeah. Morris is on the phone. Yes, please. Yeah. Okay, we're trying something new here. So it's a little confusing. Let's see, did we get him?
She's going to transfer him.
Oh, okay. So the reason I did this thing, the reason we're trying it, was because I didn't think anybody would believe us that people are out there fishing. There's small craft advisories. I forget what the weather is right now, but it's got to be like in the 60s. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's supposed to be blowing.
It's 61 degrees in Florida. That's like minus 10 anywhere else.
Yes, it is. You know.
Hello, you're on the air with Fish and Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Morris.
How's it?
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you good.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate for you, but, you know, for the rest of the world, they're actually listening in. You were actually out on the water. You still out there?
Yeah, we're just back at the dock for a quick lunch, and then we'll head back out. Really breezy today, kind of chilly. By Florida standards, it's chilly, but, you know, the harbor's really roughed up. So we're concentrated today on the canals and the Boca Grande Bayou area. I'm actually standing on the dock right now, and I'm looking at about a 25-pound snook that's sunning herself here right by our dock, up shallow in the water.
Now, RJ, our producer here, was asking me about the snook. How is the snook bite with the cold weather? Are they still biting at all?
You know, once that water gets above 60 degrees, they'll take a shrimp, but, you know, when they're really in this condition, I'd like to leave them alone. And, you know, we don't even target them. You know, they're just hanging on. You know, they're not at, if that water was 64, 65 degrees, you know, then, yeah, they'd be biting fine. And it'd be a little bit more fun to catch as well.
But what is the water temperature out there now? Any idea?
Water temperature, 59.9 degrees this morning, almost 60.
Well, that's a little too cold for the snook. Like you say, they need about another 5 degrees just so the food doesn't rot in their stomach. They can't digest food when it gets that cold.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so you know, they'll take a large, well, the snook that you know, are hanging around here in the bayou and the shallows today, you know, you can walk right up over them on the dock and wave your hands in there, and they don't move, so you know they're really cold.
So what fish are you targeting when you go out today? What's biting?
We've caught some trout, cold stuck trout, a few keeper size, you know, redfish. There are a lot of rat reds around in the bayou and the surrounding canals out in the Boca Grande area. And, you know, one of the bonus fish this time of year is we get, you know, just inundated with black drum and anywhere from about 3 to 5 pounds to sometimes we get up 10, 15 pounds. But those are a whole lot of fun to catch, and the smaller ones are still good to eat.
Now, what are you using on the trout for bait?
Everything's coming on the shrimp. One little bait that has been a real go-to for us when the shrimp bite kind of folds on the trout are the little lobster-looking gulp baits that you guys have in the shop there. You know, just about
that prawn bait or whatever it is.
I think it's the mantis shrimp.
The mantis shrimp.
That's what it is.
Now, are you using that with a jig head or hook, or use them under a bobber?
Yes, all the above. We'll put you know, an 8-ounce jig head on it. A little bit deeper water, use a 1/4 ounce. But it tends to catch a little bigger trout than your shrimp. You know, we've been, you know, catching the over 20-inch stuff on those mantis shrimp, you know, with consistency. And a lot of times you can just put it under your cork on your hook, we use a 1 or 2 aught circle hook, and just hook it on like a piece of bait and put it out there. And when the water's cold, they bite that thing.
All right. Well, I'm going to switch.
But they like it.
I'm going to switch gears here for just a minute. The stick marsh, you just got back from over there, bass fishing on the East Coast. How was it?
Well, it could be best described as an epic week of bass fishing.
I heard it was lousy. You had a hard time finding anything over 12 pounds. They were all like 8 and 10 pounds, just little tiny bass like that.
Well, we caught so many fish between 6 and 8 pounds that... You know, I couldn't give you a count. I'll just say many on that size. And you know, we did land 9 bass between 10-1 and 11 pounds 6 ounces. So that was
So you couldn't even break 12 pounds. I mean,
yeah, we had that fish on a couple times, but you know, I didn't have it on, or we would have. But.
So stick marsh is doing
huge bass.
So stick marsh is doing really good. Any other freshwater reports from around the state?
Okeechobee's producing a lot of smaller fish right now. Some of the guys that I've talked to that guide out of Rollins and a couple other places near Clewis that are catching a lot of 3-pound fish, but they're big fish or 5-pounders,
Right.
They're not getting anything 8 to 10 pounds at all.
I think we're legally obligated by Florida law that we talk about Okeechobee, we have to ask about the crappie fishing. How's the crappie fishing?
You know, in the northern part, I've had good reports up near the town of Okeechobee there in that area up north of good crappie. The stick marsh is... It's been really good crappie fishing. This east wind may cause it to murk up a little bit. I got a little report there yesterday that it was starting to murk up and get milky. And if that's the case, it'll shut the crappie bite down there as well as the bass bite for a couple days till it clears up. But
by next week, it's going to be pretty good again.
I would definitely, if somebody's inclined to want to catch some crappies, I would definitely, tell them to get some jigs and some minnows and the right size floats and get out there and do it, because this cold weather is not going to last forever and it's going to be back to warm again.
Now, you guide on the stick marsh. You're a freshwater guide. I mean, you have obligations where you're doing saltwater, but your true love is freshwater guide fishing. Do you have any openings?
A few scattered here and there, but not many. Sometime toward the end of this month, which is booking up, and then the coming new moon in February.
Well, do you want to
already booked up as well?
You want to give people your phone number? They can give you a call and find out about a date if you've got one.
Sure. My phone number is 941-276-4478.
276-4478. All right. Well, Morris, okay. I really appreciate the updates. Any questions, Robert?
No. I'm just floored by the big bass that he's been catching. I mean, I've seen several phenomenal pictures. You know, it even one of them made the cover of Waterline today.
Yeah. So hats off on the big bass, Morris. That's pretty spectacular. When you're heading out, one last question. What's your intention this afternoon getting back on the water?
We're going to stay inside. You know, we caught fish and we're successful inside the canal system here in Buck Grand Bayou. So we're going to stay inside and, just return and hit some of the areas that we already caught fish in today. That shrimp, worked. We're just using a little number one or one-aught circle hook with the shrimp, and we're hooking them in the tail, not in the horn, and we're fishing them with a tiny split shot, and we're throwing it out, let it sit on the bottom, move it 6 or 8 inches, let it sit, but we probably caught at least 8 to 10 black drum, 3-4 redfish, and a few sheep's head, and 5 or 6 cold trout today. So
hey,
That's pretty decent for a crappy day as far as you know, being out in the harbor. The harbor is extremely rough right now, and I would highly recommend against trying to go out into the harbor or run across the harbor to get somewhere. It's just really ugly out there right now.
Well, we really appreciate the report, Morris. I will catch you on the other side. Hopefully, maybe you can play some guitar tonight. Looking forward to getting together with that. So I'll see you later, buddy.
Like that, too. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks, Robert. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Morris.
All right. Like I say, I don't believe anybody would have believed that anybody could catch fish today. It brings us into the canal systems.
Right.
Now, out in Englewood, you've got canals out there. You got a couple of creeks. There's Coral Creek you can get in.
Buck Creek.
Now, there's not going to be much water.
No.
Water is going to be the hard thing to find out there. Get enough water to float your boat. Looking at Charlotte Harbor, we have a north-south aspect to the harbor. And the passes run on our lower west side, all through that southwest, from the very southern part with Ponorasa, then Redfish and Captiva and Boca Grande and Little Gasparilla up to Stump Pass. But all these are on our western boundary, most of them southwest of us. So when the wind comes out of the northeast, it pushes the water out through all these little passes and will not let it back in when the tide tries to come up. So the water, every 24 hours the wind blows in one direction, will lose another 6 inches of water. It only takes 10 miles an hour of consistent wind during the day to drop the water level 6 inches. So on a day like today, by the end of today, we could literally lose 20 inches of water easily.
Yeah, below normal lows.
Yeah. When you get down that normal low, it can be 20 inches below that. And
what a lot of guys have been doing, especially when we get these fronts and they still think they want to go out fishing the next day, a lot of them are waiting until potential tide comes up to get their boats off the lift. You know, the ones that are fortunate enough to live on the water are actually taking their boats off the lift the evening before and having it sitting off to the side of their dock in just a little bit deeper water, because there's quite a few people that can't even get their boats off the lifts.
Yeah, and it's one of the problems you have with shrimp boats, too. A lot of them are very deep draft, and one of the problems is when that water drops down so far, they can't get to the areas where the shrimp are. There's not enough water to float the boat, so you end up not being able to get shrimp, or they're going to less good places where the shrimp are smaller. So everything kind of affects everything. You know, when the wind comes up, it changes everything.
Yeah.
So from a lack of shrimp to you know, finding it harder to find places where the fish are, get to them. The good thing is it can make it much easier to find fish, because if you get out and you're in a pass going onto the flats and there's deep water there, those fish went into that deep water. And if there's no water, there's obviously no fish. So it can actually make it easier. But speaking of deep water confined area, what about Eljabeen? What's going on in Eljabeen right now?
Eljabeen is actually, I got a couple of really, really good reports this week. Ron, one of our regulars, he's super hardcore land-based fisherman, so he jumps all over the place. So he gave me several different reports for areas, but he said at Eljabeen, him and his buddy were catching a whole lot of whiting the last 2 days, yesterday and the day before that.
I thought whiting was just bait. You can't eat that, can you?
Well, he's actually saving some of them for bait.
Yeah, for bait.
He's eating some of them, without a doubt. They're absolutely a very, very mild fish.
For people up north coming down, if you like panfish, this is a very good saltwater equivalent. They don't look anything like a panfish. They're more cigar-shaped. But
they kind of look very similar to a freshwater sucker.
Yeah, but they're very good eating. Wonderful white meat, nice mild flavor. Flay them up like you would any other standard fish, and they're actually quite good.
Anyone from the East Coast, from the Carolinas north, they call them kingfish up there.
Yeah, it's a southern kingfish or Gulf kingfish. Mm-hmm. But we call kings king mackerel, but it's actually really the whiting that are more known as kings. Getting back to it, I don't know what's wrong with me today. I think it's yesterday being on the scaffolding all day. I climbed up the scaffolding, down the scaffolding, up the scaffolding. painting, putting primer on the stucco at my house, and I got to paint it. And I got to tell you, I think the one thing that amazes me most when you get to be this age is how your muscles do not retain the strength if you're not using them steady. Because right. I was in the shop from the end of November all the way through almost every day. I've taken 2 days off, I think, since November. But when you're not physically working every day, getting back into it, I know every muscle. I've got a name for every muscle in my back and my thighs.
Is it all the same name? Ouch.
Yeah. I got ouch. Ooh, I got all these different names for it. Now, you were able to get out. You went to Stump Pass. I heard you rocked it.
Oh, yeah. We did absolutely phenomenal. I caught the world's smallest lizard fish.
Hey, it was not, you weren't skunked, right?
No. But all right. He was 4 inches long.
So. Yeah, well, I got to tell you, you did better than me. I didn't get out at all. The only closest I got to fishing was painting, you know.
Well, and she caught it. I didn't. She outfished me, but that's normal.
Yeah, but...
It was still a beautiful day. It was still nice out. It was...
You know how he's trying to make himself feel good about all this? I really enjoyed the day. It was really nice outside. I had a really nice time. The clouds were really pretty. She caught all the fish, but, you know, I had a good day.
Yeah, basically.
You know, we were talking about that with a customer this morning in the store and several other ones. And then I'm on the phone with GoDaddy trying to figure out what's wrong with my website. And I was trying to get some stuff fixed. And I asked the woman, can you bring my site up and look at it and make sure that that's working? She went on and did it. She said, oh, yeah, wow, that's a phishing site. Me and my husband, we fish all the time. I'm going to have to read this. And so she's talking about that. She says, I really love to fish, but my husband don't like taking me because I catch all the big fish and he doesn't catch any big fish.
Right.
So that's a woman in Arizona. And she's saying the exact same thing we say here all the time. Give up, guys. It's hopeless. We don't stand a chance. We have a genetic deficiency. What did you say? You have to have 2 chromosomes to do this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, speaking of something else. All right. Permit offshore. If you could get there without dying... I think it's you're pretty much safe to say, this is a horrible joke, but I can't resist. If you're not a football player, you really shouldn't be out there.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it's
totally
funny.
Inappropriate, but true.
I mean, anyway, if you're out there and you're not, and you got a big enough boat, even with a big boat, don't go out there. It's rough. It's dangerous. But as soon as it clears up, what permit, right?
Yeah, I mean, this last week and a half was some of the nicer days that we've had. People have been getting offshore, not way offshore, but near shore. And the surprising part is permit. I mean, there's no reason permit should really be here in catchable numbers that are worth mentioning. There's always an oddball one here or there. But we got every day at least one phone call or a person stopping in that is either asking about the size limit, bag limit, or just flat out, hey, I caught them.
You know what was really weird about this wind that came in?
Mm-hmm.
I was downstairs, and I'm taking a smoke break because of the whole thing, and I'm talking to Morris, who's out in Boca Grande. The waves are hitting so hard out there. The wind has picked up. I mean, they got overspray coming onto the roads. All this is going on. And I literally, at that time, I'm in Harbor Heights, and the smoke from my smoke was going straight up.
There was not a
breeze at all. It was going straight up. At the same time, out there at Gaspereau Island, the waves are crashing. I mean, literally spraying. The spray was coming over onto the road, the bridges.
Right.
So it's so strange.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that land can either kill the wind or create wind, because you'll get that thermocline.
The sea breeze you're talking about.
Yeah, the sea breeze, but, you know, some guys will be like, it's windy here inshore. You know, there's 2 and 3 footers in the harbor, and some guy tells you he went offshore that day, and you're like, dude, that had to be a whoop, you know, had a whoopee out there. And he's like, no, once we made it outside the pass, a mile or so, the Gulf laid down perfectly flat. So that
well, as the weather warms up,
thermal barrier sometimes.
Right. When the weather warms up, the sun baking on the ground, the ground heats up very, very fast compared to what the water will. So as that ground heats up, the air starts rising, which pulls the water in, because that air, as it goes up, has to be replaced by something. So the air starts rising on the land, and the air coming off of the Gulf and the harbor starts rushing in to take its place, and we get a sea breeze. I try and tell people, when it's hot out in Florida, from 2 to 4 o'clock, it's going to get rough. And if you're sitting there and you go, oh, my gosh, this is – and it's a beautiful sunny day. Oh, man, it's getting really rough. We better go in. You have two choices, brave the weather or just wait till 4 o'clock. It'll stop.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back into this, Sheephead in the ICW. What's going on with Sheephead?
Had a lot of really good reports. Like Morris was saying, inside the Boca Bayou, all the flats surrounding behind Boca Grande, all up and down the intercoastal Pine Island through Lemon Bay.
Now, how big are these sheephead?
I'm getting mixed reports. One guy's catching them, you know, 14 to 18 inches. Most of them seem to be in that 12 to 15 inch range. You know, so they're
Carl.
All over on the flats, up under the bushes, up and down on all the bridges. The Anger Pier out there in Inglewood, along with the Tom Adams Bridge going from Inglewood out to Manasota Key, you know, and then a lot of those little inside islands are doing pretty darn good, you know. And the funny part is, all these, you know, a handful of these guys are saying, yeah, my buddy went out and beat himself up tromping the mangroves trying to catch mangrove crabs or fiddler crabs, and yet several of them have been coming in just buying the frozen shrimp because they're catching more on the frozen shrimp than they are on the crabs.
Yeah.
So it's proven several of these guys wrong as far as what they need to do.
Hey, sorry, Robert. Carl, that you?
This is Morris.
Oh, Morris. Got the wrong number. Sorry, buddy.
No worries.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Do you want me to dial the right number?
I got it here. I'm sorry. I don't know why that happened. I was... There we go. All right, let me see. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, you were saying, Robert.
The sheep's head are just pretty much consistent all up and down the intercoastal. And we're starting to see more sheep's head moving in up into the upper harbor, like El Jobin. El Jobin's starting to pick up some fish. There's not great, great numbers, but the quality of the fish have been pretty darn impressive.
So, okay.
You know, that's been a real nice plus. Plus, I'm hearing of them starting to move into Alligator Creek Reef, up into the canals in Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte, starting to pick up a few.
You have reached the voicemail box.
So they're doing decent, but every day seems to be getting better with the numbers of the sheep's head, and they're still wrecking them offshore with those people that are catching the permit out there. Still doing really good on sheep's head on any one of those nearshore reefs.
Okay, now one of the things that a lot of people go out in the boat for sheephead, but huge amounts of people go out to the piers and stuff. We got a couple of piers that are under construction right now.
Yes, yes. Honestly, they say like hurricane damage, but the thing is, let's be honest, it's the lack of maintenance.
You know, just old age and a lack of maintenance. And they were too cheap to put the plastic around the pilings when they put them in.
Right.
They said that's too expensive. It's typical government where, okay, I don't want to spend that much money, but now I'm going to spend twice as much money because I didn't put the extra money into it to begin with.
Yeah. So you got Bayshore North, which is the original pier.
Right. Now, that's at the when you're at Fish and Frank's and you go down the street, you turn right on Sibley Bay and it dead ends on the pier. The other pier is open closer to the bridge. So you do have two piers there. Yeah, the one is closed down, the other one is open.
Basically, the one with the dirt parking lot is the one that is closed.
Right. So,
and then the other one that is closed is Gilcrest Pier. Gilcrest Pier is over on the Punta Gorda side, real beautiful park, playground, lots of kids, lots of places that do things from shore, but the actual fishing pier itself is closed.
Right. Now, behind the Tiki Bar there, I forget what the name of that hotel is, the Four Points or something? They got Tiki Bar. There's a little pier there, and somebody fell through that one recently.
Yep. So they closed that one down, too. So three of them are small piers. The good news is, to be honest with you, like Bayshore is it can be really good fishing, but this time of year when we have these super low tides, it's such a basically mud flat there, and it's super shallow, so the fishing's not as great as it could be. Gilcrest is one of the weird ones where it varies significantly. One day's really good, next 3 days are pretty terrible. And then the one behind the Four Points is just a nice little quiet place, but it's kind of like Gilcrest. It's really good or really bad. So it wasn't like it was El Jobin or Lashley or one of the real major players that holds a lot of people and a lot of places to fish.
Now, I'm thinking about all the different fishing you could do today. You've got several of the piers. Now, Tom Adams Pier, one thing I don't know about, can you walk on the bridge embutment underneath the Tom Adams Bridge?
You used to, but I honestly don't know because it's been a couple years since I've tried walking underneath it.
Because a lot of sheephead and stuff down underneath that bridge.
Yeah.
And if you got the tide going in the right way, you can actually get there with a float. Mistake people make is they try and put the bobber to where they can cast it. And with the tide moving, say you're standing on the Anger Pier there next to the Tom Adams Bridge. If the tide is moving to the bridge, what I would do is put my bait about 5-6 feet below a bobber, drop it in the water, and just let the tide take it over to the pier.
Let the tide carry it along, absolutely.
Now, one of the things about that is once you get to the end of the drift and your bobber's in the right spot, if you don't have a weight down about 6-8 inches above the hook, you need a weight there. Otherwise, the shrimp starts going towards the surface.
Yeah, the current will actually pull that shrimp up towards the surface because of the pull of the bobber and the line.
Water wants everything to go in a straight line. It doesn't like something on top and something on the bottom and a piece in between. It wants everything to go out in a straight line. It's the same reason. Now, let's go over to Boca Grande Pass. One night I'm out there shark fishing. It's about, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Me and my buddy, half asleep in the boat. Actually, I was sleeping. We're anchored up just north of the old concrete pier there. Okay. And the waves are kind of rocking a little bit. It's a beautiful night. It's cool but not cold. Fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I feel the boat jar. And I wake up to see the back of the boat being sucked under the water. Because the anchor had pulled and was just kind of dragging along the bottom, nice and easy. We get right out in front of Boca Grande Pass because the water sweeps from that shoreline right out to the pass.
Yeah.
And
from north to south.
My anchor stuck there in the pass. And water wants everything to be a straight line. So the anchor's on the bottom. My boat's at the top. It wants to take my boat down to the bottom to be there.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I literally felt the jolt. Opened my eyes and saw the back of the boat going underwater. I was able to grab it, got the rope off, and drifted out. Obviously lost the anchor, but saved my boat, and I didn't have to swim back to shore.
Right.
But it's a good metaphor for the bobber. When you're sitting on the pier, I put the bobber out. I put a weight, 8 inches or so above the bait. And then I'll stop it for a minute and watch to see, does the bait come up or will it stay down in there? I do the same thing at Lashley Pier. When I walk out on Lashley Pier, there's a big piling holds up the highline wires over there, mm-hmm. That massive highline pole. I want to be down about 5-5.5 feet below the bobber. And I put a weight down at 10 inches over the hook. The hook from the bobber is about, 5-5.5 feet. I just drop it in the water, open my bail, and just feed line out, letting the current take my bobber over there. Now, it takes a while to get there, but there's so many fish hang out around that piling. I think you should be able to do the exact same thing at the Anger Pier over there in Englewood, up against Tom Adams Bridge. Because if you're down that deep, you've got sheephead, you've got trout, you've got black drum down there, you've got all that stuff down there.
Right, and that's also one of my more favorite ways to do it, because you taught me that. Jeez. 30 years ago now. That was one of the first things I learned long before I started working for you. You taught me that, and I still apply that rule at El Jobin all the time. For trout, I like a incoming tide there because those trout like that little bit more open water where there's school.
So you fish on the side away from the bridge.
Yeah.
You're fishing at more open water side. But there's 8 to 12 feet of water out there.
But there's also oyster bars that parallel that bridge that are out, or that pier that are out there, 50 and 100 feet out. and some of those trout will concentrate around some of those little oyster bars there. So for the trout, I prefer the incoming tide there, but I do your same technique. And then for the, if I happen to go there, because I don't let the tide dictate my fishing, I just change things up a little bit. But if I get out there and it's an outgoing tide heading towards the bridges, I still use that same technique, but I'm going towards the pilings to try for the sheep's head or the snapper that might be right around it.
Well, you know, one of my favorite algae beam techniques is if you're in a boat, incoming tide, and I go up and you've got the wooden bumpers right in the dead center of the bridge. If you come back out and about a cast away from it, so we're talking 30, 40 feet away from there, put my anchor out. And then I free line a bait. I like frozen sardine, live shrimp, but I do a lot of it with frozen sardines there. And if you can't keep the sardine on the hook, take a little bit of squid with you, the whole squid, and cut sections of it off so you end up with the rings, the circles. I use that as a keeper to keep the sardine on the hook. And I go a bit bigger hook, where normally I'd use a 4-aught. I'm probably using about a 6-aught hook there. Put the sardine on, put the squid over the sardine, put the hook through the sardine, through the squid, through the sardine, through the squid. So it's like a ring keeper. And I freeline it back with that fast current that goes in, that incoming fast current right there. And I let it get, I watch that, so I'll cast it out, let it freeline right up to it gets by the pilings. And I want it about a foot past the piling, and I fish between the bumper and that first piling or up against either one or the other. Now, once my bait's in position just a few feet past the drip edge of the bridge, just inside of the pilings, I take those weights we have, the bell sinkers, that mm-hmm. those casting sinkers, and the one has a little clip on it. Now, if I got a regular sinker, I can do it with a twist tie or something else, but I loop it over my line and let go of it. And I'm using about 3/4 ounce, 1/2 to 3/4 ounce. That weight goes right down behind the boat, and that pulls the bait just under the surface. Right. Now, as the water works on that line and that sinker, it walks the sinker forward. So every foot it goes forward, it pulls my bait down a little lower, a little lower, a little lower, till finally that sinker ends up bringing that bait all the way down to the bottom. But it gives me a lot of time because now I got my bait up at the top and it's slowly, I mean, and this will take 15, 20 minutes to get it all the way down to the bottom.
Right.
Sometimes if the current's real fast, you know, but you'll figure out the right timing. But as it goes down, and then usually once it's in that last 3 feet from the bottom, bam, nice snook, black drum. I mean, I've caught tarpon that way. I've caught so many fish that way there. You could apply that to any bridge where you've got fast-moving water. And all it is when I released my sinker, it drops it down, so the angle is still trying to go up, the bait is.
Right.
And then as it gets closer to the bait, it pulls it down to the bottom.
So you're basically creating a zip line for your sinker.
Absolutely, a zip line for my sinker. That's never thought cool. of it that way, but that's exactly what I'm doing.
And I was just making sure I was following it because it sounded like what you were explaining, but it was
no,
a pretty
it's perfect
good
analogy. So, like, if I was in Jacksonville, the current rips through there. Remember geez, that?
Yes. That was crazy.
It had,
that was, what, 30, 40 feet of water?
Well,
in
well
that one area.
Remember, we're going through there. We got the sign barge, and we're going up. And when you're in 10 feet of water, the water's still real hard. But then you hit that main channel where it's 40 feet, and the boat just flounders down, and the water gets real soft. Yeah. And Robert's looking at me like, are we going to sink? I'm like, well, we're okay. And we got across. And as soon as you get back up in 10 feet of water, the water gets hard and you just run like heck again.
Yeah. It's was a weird, weird feeling.
Yeah, it's weird when that happens. But that current's so fast there. And I did that couple up there a couple times and caught some fish, you know, some trout and some other things with that technique. So it was pretty good. But it does work almost anywhere. I've never tried it like if you were going to sit outside of Boca Raton Pass and like that 30 feet of water with an incoming tide.
Right.
And get your bait out, like, say, 100, 120 feet away from the boat. And then drop that sinker and let it just bring it down real slow. I wonder if that would work there.
I don't know, but I'd like to try it. I mean, it's a definitely...
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, the potential there for all sorts of stuff is pretty amazing.
Now, I'm not talking about anchoring within the boundaries of Boca Raton Pass. I'm talking about getting out far enough out so you're not in that... Whenever you have something big and you narrow it down to something small. It's like putting your thumb over the end of a garden hose. The water's coming out, and it's just flowing out. Then you put your thumb over part of it, and it just shoots out. It gets a really high pressure, restriction to the flow. So as long as you're out, you know, quite a ways out from Boca Grande Pass, where the water's not running that hard, you can safely anchor there. But the closer you get between those two islands, the more dangerous this becomes.
Yeah. For me personally, I found that about 5 to 6 miles out is my safety.
Really?
Mark, yeah.
Okay, I'm about a half a mile, three quarters of a mile out.
I've seen it too sketchy and close to that. Remember the old channel markers, the first channel marker was, 3 miles out?
Yeah, the first marker we had.
You know, and that was kind of where it was borderline for me sometimes, because I've just been out there, because most of my fishing out there is during the summertime when we have a lot stronger tides. You know, so I could see in the wintertime being a little closer, but...
All right, jumping back into the canals for a minute. We're on Real Community Radio, by the way. This is WKDW 97.5 FM, broadcasting you live and direct out of Northport, Florida. To stations and places, I had a customer tell me they were listening to the show in Arcadia the other day. Nocatee, Venice gets it, Englewood, Port Charlotte. And by the way, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate that. Some days we're good. Some days we're great. Some days it's doggy do. You know, diamonds and doggy do. That's the way it goes.
Nice.
So, well, you know, some days are diamonds. Others are kind of like, I don't know, the other end of the spectrum.
Some days you're the rose. Some days you're the fertilizer.
Yeah. No,
I'll go with that one. Yeah, I like that one better.
I got to figure most people would say I have a lot of fertilizer. Well, it's amazing I'm not getting taller. Okay. We're in PGI. Now, when I'm going looking for jacks in PGI, I like going in at Colony Point, and I go in, I make the right, I make the left, I go down about 1 to 2 canals up. That seems to me where usually I can get jacks. But, I mean, I'll look through the whole system. And you can go in at Colony Point and then make your way out through Ponce de Leon if you want. Or you can follow that rim canal all the way around back to Poacher's Cut and come out in Alligator Creek.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on a day like today, you could literally go there with a 15 SIG bomber and the Ghost Storm Twitch. Just idle through the canals with those 2-3 miles an hour, catch fish, have a great time. And you could go in at Ponce de Leon Park. You go in until you get through the rocks, right when the houses start, take a right-hand turn, go down the rim canal, or go all the way up where it opens up real wide, make a left, and go down. I think it's 4 canals down, make another left, and take you back through Colony Point. But you have a GPS. You can figure it out with that, or a chart, you know, yeah. A real chart, paper
chart. Imagine that. But yeah, trolling through those canals is completely amazing and way underutilized.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you heard about any crappie here in town?
Yeah.
Off of Beacon, I've heard some on a place on that dam off of Beacon, and I've heard a little bit about back if you go out Toledo Blade and right before the bridge turn left on Hillsborough, then there's another big spillway there. The guy actually was able to make his way to the top of that, caught some, but he was doing down just a little bit downstream from that big spillway.
Yeah, I've been hearing of some pretty good crappie fishing, honestly, at the end of, by Price and Raintree, which is at the very southern end of Price. I think that's still Charlotte County borderline, right on the Northport County line. I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's Northport or Charlotte. But
either way, south on Price to Raintree and turn right back in there, and there's a lot of little canal systems in there, and at one time that place was all kind of leveled down, so there's just very few standing trees, and the canals you'll see have a lot of hyacinth on them and lily pads in certain areas. And what some guys are doing is they'll actually take like a rake and just reach out there 5 feet and pop a couple holes into the water lettuce. And that's where they'll drop their bobber in, and that's where they're catching some of the crappie without having to fish the real open waters.
When years ago, there was guys that when you had that big hyacinth and weed mat and reeds and all that other stuff, they would lift the motor of the boat up, push back in there, drop the motor in, put it in gear, one big blast, and that would send them back out towards open water. They didn't run all the way out. They just hit the throttle real hard back to neutral, and that would create a big blast in the water, chop up some of the plants. It would send the boat out because they went to neutral, turned the motor off, got out in open water, and then stopped, cast back into the hole they made. You didn't want to dig a whole trench out. You just wanted to blow like a little hole.
Right.
So what you're doing is doing that with a rake.
Yeah. Yeah, because most of those areas out there, there's really no boat ramps out there for any power boats. So you're either canoe or kayak. But there is a lot of land.
I can see that kayaker. Yeah! Can you imagine what his paddle going like hell to try to chop up the weeds and get out there?
Even one of those pedal kayaks, crying out loud, he wouldn't.
I don't know. I just had this weird visual in my head. I couldn't. I'm sorry. Gas internal combustion engine.
They're also catching a lot of bass out there, too, because the bass are in pre-spawn. So we've had a lot of guys buying shiners and minnows both, because if the bass aren't cooperating that spot, usually the crappie are, or it's been vice versa. Because most of these guys that are land-based fishing, which is phenomenal, move around a lot. They'll spend half hour, maybe 45 minutes at most at this spot, and then they move to the next spot.
All right.
So it's been pretty good.
Now, we are going to start doing, we have the fishing club that goes on at Luigi's. Every month we do the second Tuesday and Wednesday of each month. And most of the time, we don't have enough seats for everybody. So we're going to be bringing that to the WKDW radio studios here at 97.5 FM in Northport. Be able to call Fish and Franks and reserve your seats here at the Common Greens, right?
Common Grounds.
Common Grounds. I don't know why I think it's Common Greens.
Because we painted the place green? Would that?
I don't know.
I don't know if we did paint it green or not. I got to go look.
Yeah, isn't that a bugger? That's like me. I walk by that every day, and I, what was that? But what it's going to be is the topic we do at the fishing club, we will then bring up here to Northport, and we will do the exact same topic here at Common Grounds, and call Fish and Franks, 941-625-3888. We'll have the dates there, but we just finalized them. All right. Let's see. There'll be meetings on February 27th, March 27th, April 17th, May 15th. The next one's February 27th. Our first one up here in Northport.
What time?
Starts at 6:30, goes till 8 o'clock. So nice. Same as Luigi's, it seems to be a nice time frame, you know, because that way you can get off work and do what you got to do and then be able to get there. But the time may vary, but for right now, that's what we're going to do. One question, are we going to be able to record those?
We sure can.
Okay, so we will be broadcasting those at a later date, or you'll be able to hear about it on fishandfranks.com. No G in Southern Fishing, by the way. I have a question for a producer. Are you like me? Do you ever get a chance to get away from here to relax?
No, that's the problem. This is my vicarious fishing, is just listening to you guys talk about it.
All right. Well, we're gonna as soon as the weather breaks, we're going to set up date. Me and Robert, we're going to go out. We're going to go on the water so that we all have a common reference here. Three of us are going to get out and go fishing.
And we'll give a shot at broadcasting live from the boat. How does that sound?
I thought you were just going to go fishing so you could relax and get away from it for a minute.
Oh, right. Well, right. I completely missed that idea. It went right
over your head, didn't it?
We'll do one trip just for relaxation, figure out what we got to do, and then if we can do it, and then the second one I'll rig a boat up. I have an extra boat. I got an extra 24-foot Carolina skiff. I'm going to be docking at Roberts. We may be able to rig that up with whatever we got to. My boat's got plenty of room on it, though. I have another 24. Well, I actually have a few of them. So, but I got one. I'm going to give it to Robert.
And you do the same as a musician, right? You got about 40 guitars. Is that what I heard?
Oh, yeah. Wait till one day when you see my guitar collection.
Oh, wow.
You're going to freak. I do nothing but American-made antique bass guitars, and all of them made in America except a couple. My 62 Hofner wasn't made in America.
No.
But I'll show you my bass guitar collection sometime, because you're a bass player.
That's right, yeah.
Where do you see that? I got a very cool collection. All right, but only short scale. The only long scale I have is a five-string Les Paul and a I forget what
you notice, Boys and Girls, he said the only, and then he named at least two more guitars.
It might be two or three.
So okay. You do the same thing with boats, I'm understanding now.
Yes, that's unfortunate. I was going to sell the boat, but I said Robert needs a boat. So I'm going to park that behind Robert's house. I'm going to let him in.
I thought Robert kept vetoing that idea last show. No, he didn't want a boat.
No, he's going to do it.
Robert's like me. We have friends with boats.
Yes. Okay.
Those are the best boats on the planet, is your friend's boat.
Yes.
All right. Black Drum, Burnstour Isles, and Alligator Creek. How are they doing?
In Burnstour Isles and right at the top end of Alligator Creek, right before you get to 41.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be where there's pretty good concentrations of them. And they're seeing two fish all the way up to 100 fish. One guy had 2 days in a row where this school stayed in the back of one of the dead-end canals there in Burnstour Isles and had at least 100 black drum around him and finally figured out how to catch them on the second day. The first day, he just stared at them and twiddled his thumbs.
That's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jack Crevel. We got Jack Crevel in the Myakka River. We got Jack Crevel in the Peace River. We got Jack Crevel in the Caloosahatchee River. And
these are all good-sized Jack Crevel. I haven't heard of anything under, like, 8 pounds. Most of them have been in, like, that 10 to 15-pound range with an occasional 20-pounder. That's a mule.
That's a mule.
Those are
tackle destroyers.
Absolutely.
They'll burn the drag out of a CI-4 in about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
They'll tear the reel right apart.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive with what they can do. I mean, pound for pound, I personally think they're probably one of our greatest sport fish we have in the area.
I've maintained since I first came to Florida, probably within 2 years, I figured out that I am literally convinced that if Jack Crevel would learn how to jump or tailed walk or anything, were to get their butts up out of the water, it would be the number one most protected game fish in Florida.
Nothing pulls
any harder.
No.
It's the hardest pulling fish there is. Fast, pulls hard, quick. If they just learned to jump, we could get a law enacted to protect them. You'd never be able to take one again.
Yeah, it would be. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't speak Jack yet. I'm working on snook, but I haven't learned to speak Jack yet. So.
Right.
All right. Getting around back up into, if you don't have a boat or you don't want to take your boat out right now, I would say getting on a beach near a pass would be a really good idea.
Yeah, I agree. Been quite a few people having some wonderful success from the Venice, Nokomis area right up there by the jetties, and then down through.
They go to, as long as it's not you, Stump Pass is probably good.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you're not Robert. Now, if you're Robert, you probably don't need to go out there, but anybody else would probably have a pretty good time around Stump Pass.
Yep.
What about Boca Grande?
Boca Grande has been pretty exceptional. I mean, I've been hearing of whiting, sheep's head, some pompano, and even some good assortment of bonnethead sharks.
Yeah, I'm hearing more and more about the bonnethead sharks, and it's literally amazing. Not only do they shrimp is their primary diet. These are not a bait fish oriented shark. They like shrimp and grass. I wonder if you could take some stuff off the yard, like load a hook up with grass, throw a little shrimp on it. Would that make it better?
I don't know.
Maybe some lettuce.
Yeah, you probably have to stop and pick up some of the turtle grass or something that's washed up on the shoreline, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just picturing putting a chunk of lettuce on there and then having the thing on there.
The fun part would be is, what are you fishing for? Manatee?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Really watch somebody pucker up out of the beach.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Got a head of lettuce on my hook here. Yeah, what are you fishing for? Realize you're messing with others.
Don't worry. We're catching a lace on it. It's okay. Hold my beer, Bubba. Watch this.
Exactly.
That's horrible.
Yes.
All right. Funny. No other white meat. All right. Let's see. And just to let you know, there's all kinds of stuff coming up. We got the meetings at Luigi's. We got talks and seminars coming up. Go to fishinfranks.com, F-I-S-H-I-N, Franks. The I-N-G isn't working right now, but the I-N is. All right. I-N Franks with an S. Maps, pictures, directions. We got a couple new web pages going on there. I would say this weekend is supposed to blow pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're better off going to be doing some land-based fishing, whether it's out at the beaches. It's now, going to be blowing out of the east,
you
northeast,
could, you
so
could
it should
put
be
in
pretty
at,
calm out at the beaches.
You could put in at several of the little boat ramps around and stay in the canals and do really good. Port Charlotte canals, PGI, the creeks, even the ICW, you're still going to be relatively safe in the ICW.
Sure.
You're not going to build that much wind up.
You probably put in, I think Snoqualmie's boat ramp is still open up on the upper
Well,
Myakka.
What about Indian Mountains? It's
No, I'm talking about the upper Myakka.
Okay, in the upper Myakka.
And then you got Port O'Call there in El Jobin. There's a boat ramp there. And there used to be a boat ramp right there at 41 in the Myakka, but I don't know if that's still open.
I don't think that
right
one's
by that
open.
Restaurant. So, I mean,
but
I'm
there
not,
is one in Northport. Just going fishing, Frank Scott Tom. I've got a
so
saltwater
you got
boat
the
ramp.
The Myakka
there.
River. You got Port Charlotte canals where you can put in at the beach complex. If you want to stay on the Punta Gorda side, you got Ponce de Leon. The unfortunate part is if you want to fish up on the Peace River, you've got to put in the Navigator or over on the Punta Gorda side at Darst.
Yeah, because the Harbor Heights ramp is still closed.
Correct.
But you can put up the Navigator. If you want to do a little bass fishing, explore a little new area, catch some snook, tarpon, largemouth bass, all in the same spot. Go up to the 760 boat ramp up off Kings Highway. Go up, pass the water treatment plant, turn right on the first blacktop road, that's 760, right before the bridge, boat ramp's on the right. And some
right
amazing
there,
fishing
Lake.
There. No, it's way past that.
Is it way past
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Lettuce Lake is the one on 761. I'm talking about going up to 760.
Okay, way up there.
So a lot of stuff you can do, a lot of fishing to be had. Freshwater, saltwater. The only thing I would do, boys and girls, stay out of the Gulf of Mexico and the open harbor for the next couple days. Fish and Frank here in the chair. Our producer, RJ, over there, tried desperately to put up with us. Robert in the chair across from me. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, we got you.